At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy as well, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Good morning, Kelly.
Heyo, how are we doing?
We're doing very well. We've got to go over everything that happened this weekend. My goodness.
Yeah. It was fun.
It didn't sound like it went so well.
Well, it felt like one of those weekends where it was pay-per-view football. You know what I mean? I had to like pay for entertainment. That's kind of what it was, yeah. Betting-wise. But, yeah. You know, it was very entertaining.
It was. It was choppy with the betting for sure. We got to go through everything. We'll do everything hour number two with Chrissy in terms of a guessing lines type of structure. We will do that hour number two. We will also talk about the game tonight, obviously, between Dallas and Tampa Bay, the final spot remaining to be filled in the division round next week. Every matchup but one determined. Who will travel to San Francisco? Will it be the Cowboys? Will it be the Bucks? Cowboys favored by 2.5 tonight, 45.5. We'll talk about that. 45.5 is the total. We'll talk about that game coming up as well. Have some Australian Open picks, the rare Australian Open morning, where I actually have a couple picks, 1 and 2 to start things off last night. Very squirrely on the men's side. We'll do that as well. And bets that we added this weekend, NFL, tennis, NBA, everything that we have mentioned on the show, so nothing will be out of the blue if you've been paying attention, actually followed up on these bets in multiple sports.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But some of them we finally bet.
So that's the thing with the show, right? Like there's oftentimes bets that we have available to us that we recommend, and then after the show we're like, oh yeah, I got to make that bet. We try not to bet them before we announce them on the show. But then there's a lot that we can't even bet because they're in a different jurisdiction, at DraftKings, at FanDuel, somewhere else that is not here in Nevada. But these are all ones that we talked about. These are all ones that we followed up on. Two things. One, happy Martin Luther King birthday day to you, Kelly Bidlin. When I was a kid, yeah. This was a very big deal where I grew up in Washington, D.C. When the drive came to make it a holiday. Then for most of, I guess, my adult life, it was like if you worked for a corporation, they're like, you can have this or you can have President's Day. One or the other. You get a choice, though. Can't have them both. It turned into that. But musical recommendation, King Dream Chorus, for anybody who wants to see this. It's sort of like a We Are the World for Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, okay.
With all kinds of R&B acts. Whitney Houston, El DeBarge, New Edition, Menudo was in there as well. Fat Boys, it's great. King Dream Chorus, tell them I sent you. I want to see my name there on YouTube. Gil Alexander sent me.
I'm gonna YouTube it, and then I'll put on the comments, Gil sent me.
Okay, so here's the thing. Before we're going to get into all the details of these games, hour number two, and we'll inevitably get to some here. But the two big sort of macro things for me, one, I have somewhat famously described NFL betting as Plinko, pre-flop ATS betting as likening it to the Price is Right game Plinko in terms of where the chip falls at the end and whether you win the bet or not ATS. We have now gotten to the point where, forget the Plinko part, it doesn't matter what the score is in any particular game. You never know how this is going to go at any given moment. Every one of these games, let's start chronologically, Seattle, San Francisco, Seattle up at the half, and then San Francisco completely rolls them. So whatever you thought was the case at the half, completely different by the end of the game. Jacksonville, need we say, Jacksonville, the third largest comeback in NFL playoff history, the fifth largest comeback, period, in NFL history. Talk about something we didn't know what was happening midway through the game. 27-0 Chargers, the Jaguars famously coming back 31-30. What about the Bills and the Dolphins? The Dolphins led in the second half. Probably should have had a chance to win that one. But, I mean, it was Bills 17-0 in the Bills game, was it? I'm trying to think what they were up. Yes, 17-0. Yep. 17-17 at the half. So, again, another huge lead that just meant nothing in the end. Giants-Vikings was like a tennis match. That was the one exception. And then last night, I mean, I don't even know how that game ended up as it did, which we'll get to the details. Yeah. Some of us very fortunate with the push.
Very fortunate on that.
Very fortunate push. That was the thing. My sides were 1-0-1. It was the other shenanigans I did that all, so I kind of lost. Oh, no, I did the Chargers too, so that was a loss. 1-1-1, pardon me.
Yeah, Chargers hurt. I took a beating betting the Bills live several times.
We'll get into all that. But here's the other big macro thing. The number of just absolutely unconscionable mistakes in all of these games. So it would be
incredible.
Seattle, San Francisco, not so much. But after that, first of all, the Brandon Staley saga. Has it finally come to an end? And let me just say again, last season, boy, did I want Brandon Staley to be a great coach. Matt Brown and I are similar on this. But I'll tell you what we didn't do, Kelly. Never once said one good thing about him this year.
Oh, man. I mean.
After
everything in Week 18, that guy better not be on the team plane. You kidding me?
Sean Payton should be the coach of this team by sundown. That's how it should be. Now, we'll go with the Spanos family. We don't know. But Sean Payton, so clearly, this would be the job that he would probably covet, and this would be the job that he could have if Spanos decides to make a move. But now the Brandon Staley thing, yes, the Mike Williams, playing all your players in Week 18, which we talked about endlessly last week. What are you doing with your seed locked up? Mike Williams gets hurt. Mike Williams, by the way, wouldn't have been available this coming week. That's how bad of a gaffe that ended up being. And it was worse than Mike McCarthy, who technically had something to play for last week with Dallas, at least for a little bit. And it was worse than what Tampa Bay did playing Tom Brady for less than a half. This was its own thing where Justin Herbert didn't come out of the lineup till 11-plus minutes left in the game last week. And then Saturday. I mean, what can you say? It's 27-0, and yet all we were texting each other was, everybody knows this is going to happen, right? Oh, it's totally going to happen. It's going to be the most Chargery thing ever. It's totally going to happen. They're going to blow it. And there were so many things. I mean, we might as well talk about some of them right now. When they were up 27-0, there are points in this game where you don't even remember. When it was 27-0, and this is a great tweet from Shoebox at JJSS64, probably won't matter in this game, was the tweet at the time, but Staley going jet sweep on 3rd and inches with 3 minutes to go in the half up 27-0 is amazingly bad. Jags went right down the field after the 13-yard loss and made it 27-7 at the half. That's a play that people won't even remember. Yep. That was a play call. Not Brandon Staley's defensive guy, but that's a play that people won't remember. And then there's so much more in that game, which we'll get into, but it's the 4th and 3, right? It was the Doug Peterson, like Al Michaels and Tony Dungy, who were so poor on this broadcast.
They really were.
And I was texting Felica and Will Hill the whole time. I'm like, first of all, it's not only Al Michaels and Tony Dungy. I'm like, where's the graphics department? Because while it was happening, I was like, wait a minute. Isn't this going to be the second biggest playoff comeback of all time? I was wrong. It was third biggest. But I was like, where's the graphic to give this context? It finally came with 3 minutes left in the game. Oh, this would be the third biggest comeback in playoff history. So there was that. And then the fact when it was the key 4th and 3, when it was 30-20, I believe, at the time, and Doug Peterson, Al Michaels and Tony Dungy, Al Michaels finally recognized, yes, this is a big decision being made by Doug Peterson. Should they make it 3rd and 13 or should they let it be 4th and 3? And they said, oh, 3rd and 13, it would still probably be a field goal attempt. What they didn't seize on was that Brandon Staley should have gone for it on 4th and 3. And here is the biggest, by the way, there's another thing that happened later in this game. By the way, of course, the missed field goal you know what happens later. Jacksonville goes down the field 30-26, and then Joey Bosa gets held by Jamal Taylor, also a false start by Jamal Taylor. Neither gets called. Joey Bosa throws a tantrum, slams his helmet down. You know what Brandon Staley does? He picks up the helmet and gives it back to Bosa, who proceeds to spike it again. Let me ask you a question, Kelly. Do you think George Halas would do that?
That stuff was ridiculous with the false start stuff.
Do you think Bill Parcells would do that? Do you think he'd hand the helmet back to Joey Bosa? Brandon Staley did.
Guy's a joke. That false start stuff was happening all game, though. I didn't understand that. I feel like I've seen games this year where it's happened throughout the entire game and they don't call it.
We've talked about it on a numbers game for years where there'd be random games where the right tackle would be like, the right tackle false starts every play.
Like, Bosa was right. That was happening all game.
He was right. But I believe in kindergarten what they told you was two wrongs don't make a right. He jacked it up. He gave them both one instead on the two-point conversion, half the distance to the goal line, and Jacksonville appropriately went for two, and Trevor Lawrence did the wave thing, the Drew Brees wave over the plane of the end zone. And so the field goal was to win instead of tie subsequently. And I just want to say this about Brandon Staley, because I wanted to get to the other games, to all the gaffes in those games, right, which we'll get to. But we're talking, you know, in what case we're talking. We're talking about all the Dolphins' errors with the play clock, all of the, you know, Kirk Cousins passing the ball 3 yards downfield when you need 4th and 8.
What was that?
The Ravens mismanaging the clock at the end of that game, getting way too cute with the clock. But the Brandon Staley thing, and this is just, boys and girls, is a lesson for all walks of life. If you are going to succeed and fail in life, do it your way. Kelly, you know, Jim Rome for 30 years was like the gold standard of sports talk radio. Do you know what young Gil would never be? Jim Rome, right? Wouldn't want to be, wouldn't try to be. You're going to fail or succeed doing it your way. Be yourself. Brandon Staley's ultimate crime is that the Brandon Staley of last year, 2021, would have gone for that 4th and 3. Mm. He ends up failing and probably is going to get fired because he, for whatever reason, acquiesced to the pressure around him to do things not the way he naturally would do things. That's a brutal pill to swallow, that you failed doing it not to your constitution. That is the most chargery of charger things ever, what happened on Saturday. Anyway, those are the two big things, Kelly. Didn't mean to cut you off there and rant. Apologies.
No, it was good. You can't bring that guy back, though. He's done.
You can't.
He's toast.
You can't.
Are you kidding me? For what happened the past 2 weeks? No.
I wanted to love him so. Yeah. All right, we'll come back.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Happy MLK Day to you. We forgot to do our pro tip in the previous hour, and that pro tip is what we just talked about at the end. For awards markets like most improved player in the NBA, look at past winners and their resumes when making bets. This is one that often follows a pretty basic formula with the winners. In other words, let's put numbers to it. Lauri Markkanen's gone from 14 points a game to 24 points a game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's gone from 24 to 30, not as much of a leap, but that's the construct. That's the model that usually wins most improved player. From good to great, not from oblivion to good. You get one every hour, a pro tip that is. That's at least 20 a day. Pro tips searchable at VSiN.com for VSiN Pro subscribers only, where you can sort them by sport and by show at VSiN.com. This is from... This comes to us from Bill Krakenberger. Hey, do you know Bill Krakenberger, Kelly? You met Bill Krakenberger?
Sort of.
Billy does a podcast, and he passed this on to me. He said, bookmakers just missed having their biggest week ever, talking in general here, if Buffalo lost outright. However, I think he's talking about bookmaker offshore, by the way. He says, however, they had a huge, huge week. Oh, no, this is Jay. No, he's just talking about bookmakers in general. Now he says, Jason, the head of risk at BetMGM, said that Buffalo minus 13.5 was the biggest risk they've had this season. Millions and millions of dollars bet on Buffalo. Cincy not covering two. That helped as well.
Wow.
Well, if only we had a bookmaker that we could talk to about how he did. Ladies and gentlemen, Guessing Lines with Chrissy Andrews. My Mishpoch. All right.
Only bet the Bills -6.5 live, -5.5 live, -5.5 live again. Good times.
Yesterday, that's what you did over and over. Yeah. Hello, Chrissy Andrews. Hey. For those who are just tuning in for the first time, this is a makeshift Guessing Lines for the division round. Throwback to the old Stardust radio show of the same ilk. Chrissy, who runs the South Point Sportsbook right behind us. How was your weekend?
Nowhere near what Krakenberger's saying.
Really?
I mean, now I got to tell you, if Miami would have won outright, we might have had one of the biggest weekends we ever had.
But, it was the money line parlays getting home.
Money line parlays got there. That hurt us. You know, the 7 actually was a very bad number for us last night with the Raven game. You know, I used 7 on my ties win parlay card. You know, we didn't get murdered yesterday. I mean, we lost a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday was really good. But yeah, you know, I guess everybody just has different business. And I look at our allocations, you know, because we got a couple different sites, and you could see a big disparity in customer bases. You know, but
big disparity. How? What do you mean?
Well, some places did real well, and some places didn't do so well. Here at the South Point, we didn't do that, but we combined everything together.
I see. Gotcha.
But you could still see differences in, you know, customers. You know, but we, you know, we got beat up here. You know, Rampart did a little better. You know, the Mesquite properties did real well. You know, so it just kind of depends. But overall, it was, I mean, like I said, it wasn't terrible. I mean, we lost a little bit for the day, but that includes NBA and hockey and all that other stuff.
Lights are still on today.
Mr. Gon doesn't have to sell the plane.
All right, so let's do these. We obviously won't have the fourth game to get to, but we'll talk about the Niners here at some point. But let's do these in chronological order for next week. The first game on Saturday is?
At 4:30 Eastern time, Jags at Chiefs.
The number 4-seeded Jaguars. The number 1-seeded Chiefs. Chiefs coming off the bye, of course, at 14-3. The Jaguars beat the Chargers. Fifth biggest comeback in NFL history. Third largest comeback in NFL postseason history. We'll go through some of the gory details. Second play of the game. I mean, this was all Chargers to begin with. Second play of the game, Trevor Lawrence pass tipped by Joey Bosa, picked by Dre Tranquill. Two plays later, Eckler in from 13, 7-0. Chargers before you could even blink. Next drive, 4th and 7 at the Chargers 33 for the Jaguars. Lawrence picked by Asante Samuel Jr. 10:02 left in the first quarter. Zay Jones totally held on the play, and Khalil Mack at least a half yard offside earlier in the drive. No calls. God, the officiating this weekend was so bad. Cameron Dicker, 22-yard field goal off that, 10-0 Chargers. They trade 3 and outs. Then Jacksonville, 3rd and 5 at their own 19, 2:09 left in the first quarter. Lawrence picked by Asante Samuel again. Three plays later, Eckler in from 6, 17-0 Chargers. We're still in the first quarter, 44 seconds left. Another 3 and out for Jacksonville. Then the Chargers go on an 11-play, 62-yard drive. Ends in Herbert to Gerald Everett for 9, 24-0 Chargers. Subsequent drive, Jaguars, 3rd and 10 at the 50, 6:55 left in the second quarter. Lawrence picked by Asante Samuel for the third time. Fourth pick of the game. Chargers do get a 3 and out, but then the punt hits off the helmet of Chris Claybrooks. And Amen Agbung Bemiga recovers it. Cameron Dicker, the kicker, 23-yard field goal. It's 27-0 Chargers, 4:25 left in the second quarter. And then the Jags had another 3 and out. And this is where it begins. This is where it all begins. The Chargers end up with a 3 and out after that. But on 3rd and 1 at their own 27 with 2:26 left, up 27-0, and this is the tweet we read earlier, jet sweep. They lose 13 yards. They get that 1 yard. You know what they prevent? The Jaguars probably from scoring in that half, because the Jaguars got the ball back. They went 7 plays, 53 yards, only took them 1:25, including a 4th and 1 conversion at the Chargers 26. Lawrence to Jones for 12. 2 plays later, Lawrence to Evan Engram for 9 yards, 27-7. That's how we went into the locker room. Third quarter. Chargers start out 7 and out. Then the Jaguars go 14 plays, 89 yards, ending in Lawrence to Marvin Jones Jr. from 6 out, 27-14 Chargers. And you're like, oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. But the Chargers get a Dicker 50-yard field goal on a drive where Gerald Everett had a 25-yard quote-unquote catch that went unchallenged by Doug Peterson and the Jaguars. 30-14 Chargers, and you're thinking, okay, maybe they righted the ship here. Jacksonville then, 5-play, 68-yard drive, took 2 minutes and 7 seconds. Lawrence to Zay Jones for 39, 2-point conversion fails, 30-20 Chargers, 40 seconds left in the third quarter. Everybody texting each other, oh my God, it's happening. Fourth quarter, Chargers, 2nd and 6 at their own 37, 13:46 left, 30-20 game. Herbert sacked, but a massive unnecessary roughness penalty on Trayvon Walker, where he just shoved Herbert down, extends the drive, eventually leading to the biggest fulcrum point of the game. We talked about it earlier. Doug Peterson declines a holding penalty on 4th and 3 at the Jacksonville 22 with 8:51 left. Al Michaels and Tony Dungy recognize it's an interesting decision for Peterson, but mention nothing about Staley's decision not to go for it, 4th and 3, which was the main point. Didn't even occur to Staley. Dicker proceeds to miss a 40-yard field goal. And again, this is what I said earlier. Brandon Staley, your biggest crime is you didn't go out being true to yourself. 2021, Brandon Staley goes for that. But not 2022, Brandon Staley. Jacksonville goes 10 plays, 70 yards. Lawrence to Kirk for 9 on a drive that included a horrible challenge by Staley on a Lawrence to Zay Jones 8-yard completion. And then the second biggest moment, 2nd and goal at the Chargers 9 with 5:30 left. Lawrence to Kirk, touchdown, 30-26. False start and a hold by Jawan Taylor on Nick Bosa goes completely uncalled. Bosa goes crazy, throws a tantrum, called for unsportsmanlike, spikes his helmet. Brandon Staley picks up the helmet and hands it back to Joey Bosa. He then spikes it again. Chrissy, does George Halas do that? Does Bill Parcells do that?
Yeah, what was that? I mean, the first one, okay, you know, all right. He hands him the helmet. Here you go, son. And he throws it again.
Does Vince Lombardi hand it back? And here's where I wrote my note. Al Michaels, no sense of moment, no energy. This is my notes. No, my notes during the game. No sense of moment, no energy.
Staley knows he's going to need that support when it comes down to a vote, you know, whether he has a job or not.
So what does it do? It brings the ball to the 1-yard line, yeah. And the Jaguars appropriately go for 2, and Trevor Lawrence does the Drew Brees wave over the plane, 30-28. Chargers go 3 and out. And then the final drive of the game, Jacksonville, 9-play drive, including a 4th and 1 conversion at the Chargers 41 with 1:28 left. Etienne for 25. Patterson from 36. Good. 31-30, Jaguars. Or as Al Michael called it, there's a flag. There's a flag. It's on the defense. Chargers ran 7 of 29 plays by design in the second half, just 7 runs. Lawrence was 4 of 13 for 30 yards and 4 picks to start the game. In fact, the Jaguars' first 7 drives, 4 picks and 3 3-and-outs. And Lawrence finishes the game 28 of 47 for 288, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. He was sacked twice. Etienne, 20 for 109. How much credit does Trevor Lawrence deserve for keeping his head in that game? The Jaguars, most incredibly, -5 in turnovers. -5, leading directly to 23 Chargers points. And, of course, they're taking on the Chiefs here, who entered Week 18 with the worst red zone defense, it should be pointed out, in the NFL, and the worst team on 3rd and 1 on offense. Just a couple notes about the Chiefs. I said the Chiefs would be 7.5-point favorites here.
Well, I thought 6.5, 7. I saw this game. It opened 8.5, 9. There's still 9s. I see a couple 9s out there. Almost all 8.5. I opened 8 just to be below the market. I thought it should be a little lower. I went back and looked. You know, the Chiefs, you know, everybody tells you how hard it is to play at Arrowhead. It is. Is it easy to beat the Chiefs on the road?
Yeah.
And I went back 3 years, and when I was giving everybody 3 points for home field advantage, that was kind of like the basic number. I was only giving the Chiefs 2. And then last year I started giving them 1. And this year, consistently a 1. You know, and they've covered some numbers at home. There's no doubt. You know, but I think this is just a good team no matter where they play. They don't have that big of a home field advantage. And, I was looking at the number, and I'm thinking, boy, anything over 7 to me, it would have to be a take. And, I think this Jaguar team has really found itself. I talked about it, and I know we're running out of time here, but I mentioned last week on the show that there was a big coaching disparity in the Charger-Jaguar game. There was a bit of a quarterback disparity, too, but that had greatly narrowed the way Trevor Lawrence is playing.
I agree.
Greatly narrowed. This kid is really playing well. I think the team believes in themselves, their coach, their quarterback. I think it's going to be a tight game.
Good on him for bouncing back.
Absolutely.
Good on him. Got to give him credit. We'll come back game two between the Giants and the Eagles next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Have you noticed that my well is getting longer and longer, Kelly? Well, it's turning into...
It's quite a wind-up, yeah. It's
turning into murder. She wrote. We get tweets. We also get tweets. I don't know what I just said. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Daytime degenerate. The autumn wind is a Drew Barrymore.
What?
We talked about Drew Barrymore earlier. Then Kelly talked about...
Raiders song?
Kelly talked about her, what she wears, and it's like autumn.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Paul Zhang. Bet365 cashes out moneyline bets when the team goes up 17. It cashed in the first quarter in that Jags-Chargers game. And, of course, the Jacksonville moneyline cashed as well, in addition to the Chargers. Let's say, this is from Steve, 2014, 2014 Eagles. He said, my brother's TV was stuck on an SAP broadcast. I missed out on Al Michaels and Tony Dungy. The Spanish announcer appeared to be on the Jags, because English would pop out of his mouth if the Jags did bad. Quote, Trevor, you can't throw that. You see the guy there. Unquote. That's awesome. Oh, man. Gil, any update on the eggnog challenge? That's from Robert Schaefer. Well, we got to see if there's eggnog available. That's the first thing there. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, agree on your 49ers MVP take. DraftKings also has Nick Bosa at 100-1. Last week, you never know, he could pull it off like Von Miller in Super Bowl 50. Well, it's always possible.
Oh, yeah.
Always possible.
He's playing great.
That was, of all the advice we gave last week, that Niners MVP, it's still available, too. You could still make Niners MVP bets at really nice prices. McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle.
Yeah, I think I might add one or two of those today.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Kelly, on Saturday?
Saturday, we have the Giants and Eagles. 8:15 Eastern.
Six-seeded Giants, first seed, number one seed Eagles. Eagles, of course, coming off the bye. The 14-3 Eagles, number one seed. Giants beat the Vikings yesterday. They done did it. This game was not like the others. This was more of a tennis match that you figured if someone broke the other player, it was going to be the advantage and that would be all they needed.
I thought it was the most, it went to script. This game went to script better than any other game, right? You knew both defenses kind of sucked and the offenses were going to have their way. I didn't think that the Giants were going to be able to take advantage of the Vikings as much as they did, but they did.
These two first drives sum it up. Vikings 12 play, 75-yard drive, 6:37. Cousins in from 1 out, 7-0 Minnesota. Remember, 12 plays. Giants come back 5 plays, 75-yard drive, took half that time, 3:12. Barkley in from 28, 7-7. The Giants did whatever they wanted to do. It was so easy for them. Those receivers were so wide open all game. It was like, what am I watching? Minnesota 3 and out. By the way, 3rd-and-1 at their own 34. Jefferson to Cousins for a 2-yard loss. That was the first hiccup. So then it was like breaking serve. Giants got the ball. Four plays, 81 yards. Took 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Jones to Slayton for 47. Then 3 plays later, Jones to Hodgins from 14 out. 14 to 7 Giants. Minnesota 5 and out. Gano 25-yard field goal. 17 to 7 Giants after a 10-minute and 52-second drive. Then Minnesota countered. 8 plays, 75 yards. Took 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Cousins to Hockenson for 27 after the Giants opted to let Minnesota have a 3rd and 9 and not a 2nd and 19. And then to Hockenson for 28. Those were the big plays. Cousins to Osborne for 9, 17 to 14 Giants. That's how they went to the locker room. Jones, first half, 12 of 16 for 143, 10 carries for 71. Second half, more of the same. Giants start. 6 plays, 75 yards. Took 323. Jones to Bellinger from 9 out, 24 to 14. Minnesota, 8 plays, 75 yards. Took 351. Cousins to Irv Smith from 3 out, 24-21 Giants. Then the Giants with their first drive of the game without a score, 6 and out. Kevin Barnett, I noted, being extra excitable after the Al Michaels debacle the previous day. Pointed that out earlier. Fourth quarter, Minnesota, 4th and 2 at the Giants, 43. Down 24-21. Cousins to Hockenson for 18. Then a 4th and 1 at the Giants, 16 with 12:41 left. False start. Joseph, they have to settle for the field goal, 38-yard field goal, 24-24. By the way, great job at expedited replays in this game.
Yes.
Can I get the memo? Did I get the memo? Did you get the memo on expedited replays?
Yeah, no. We were going like CFL style now, and it was going to come down from upstairs immediately.
Felica pointed this out yesterday. He's like, well, we knew this existed because every once in a while it happens, but every drive it seemed like they had an expedited replay.
But to your point, the announcers were bringing it up constantly. Like, we were all supposed to know about this.
Expedited replay, sure. Fourth and inches for the Giants now at the Minnesota 7. 24-24 game. Jones converts. 2 plays later, Barkley scores from 2 out. 31-24 Giants. 7:47 left. What do you know? The Vikings are in a one-score game. Remember, they were 11-0 before this in one-score games. Minnesota 3 and out. Giants get the ball back. 4th and 1 at their own 45. Up 31-24. 3:28 left. Jones gets it on the sneak. 3 plays later, after Minnesota had used all 3 timeouts, though. 3rd and 15 at the Giants 41 with 3:07 left. This could seal the game. Jones to a wide-open Slayton drops it. Had nothing but green grass in front of him. Would have effectively ended the game. Instead, the clock stops. Minnesota gets the ball, and Minnesota starts down 7. 2:56 left at their own 12. 0 timeouts left. The second play, roughing the passer on Dexter Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Instead of 3rd and 4 at their own 18, it's 1st and 10 at the 33. At that moment, didn't you think, oh, this is fait accompli? They're totally driving down the field.
Oh, yeah, of course I did.
Come on.
Me? Of course I did.
You, Mr. Vikings.
You're not mentioning how bad that call was, too.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Like, come on. There was, I guess, a technical graze of the helmet.
Graze of the helmet.
It was a graze, yeah.
But how can you call that?
I mean, these are the playoffs, man. Come on.
Playoffs. And here's where it ends. 4th and 8, famously at their own 47, 1:51 left. Again, no timeouts. Down 7. And Kirk Cousins does the most Kirk Cousins thing you'll ever see. He just throws a 3-yard pass to T.J. Hockenson.
With a guy being covered.
I get it. He was rushed, but just to throw it downfield.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You have to. Right. And I get it that T.J. Hockenson had a big game.
Yeah.
But you're asking a tight end to shed a tackle and still get upfield like 7 yards for the first down.
Horrific decision by Cousins, and the most Kirk Cousins thing ever.
Yeah.
Ball game. The New York football Giants are going to the division round. Jones, 24 of 35 for 301. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. 17 carries for 78 yards. Jones, first player in history with 300 yards plus passing, 2+ passing touchdowns, 70+ rushing yards in a postseason game. Hodgins, 8 for 105 and a touchdown. 431 total yards for the Giants. They did whatever they wanted. And this closes the book on the most fraudulent team in the history of the NFL. Per Football Outsiders, the Vikings end up, as we said, going into yesterday's game with the 9th lowest DVOA ever for any playoff team since Football Outsiders have been tracking playoff teams since 1981. The 9th worst. And yesterday, they lived up to that billing. And they end up, instead of 11-0 in first in one-score games, well, they get to the postseason and they lose their first one-score game.
Vikings. Cheers to you on a great season. The ROI was still fantastic.
Philadelphia is a touchdown favorite against the Giants. I'll say -7.
That's what it opened virtually everywhere. We opened at 7 ourselves. I'll get your first bingo. No dickering with that number.
No dickering.
It's up to, we got bet this morning, though, on Philadelphia, and I could see the guy who bet us, he's, you know, it moved everywhere. So we're 7.5 now here at South Point, and 7.5, pretty much like a blanket. I see 1-7 minus 20. There's still 1-7 out there at the win, and then some 7 with some juice on it, you know. So
you moved on the bet or thereafter?
I moved slightly after that because I didn't want to move. I didn't know the guy that well that bet us, and I didn't know sharp guy, whatever, you know, so I didn't really want to move. But then when I saw it moving everywhere, I said, okay, he's either with somebody or he's creating the move himself. So I wound up moving to 7.5.
Is your instinct here that every time it moves 7.5, it's going to bounce back to 7?
Well, it hasn't done it yet. So let's see. Sometimes when you breach that 7 and you go to 7.5, if it doesn't come back, it might be headed to 9 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. I don't know. I thought 7 was a good opening number. I mean, we're still not 100% sure on Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's had some time to recover. I mean, the assumption is he's okay, but, yeah, you know, that's a big assumption. You know, I think Garner Minshew's a pretty good backup, but he's not Jalen Hurts.
You know what they say about assumptioning.
I do know what they say.
I agree.
Neglected to mention that.
I think it's going to be a tougher game to bet because of that. I think there is definitely this cloud of unknown with Jalen Hurts still. And for me personally, I think that might keep me away from this game.
I also feel like with Philadelphia, and we'll get to it with Buffalo, especially with Buffalo, but even though the wins kept coming.
Yeah.
You just felt like they weren't the same team.
Yeah,
anymore.
They may have peaked a little early. And I think we have both mentioned that on this show before. Yeah. Not we've dropped their power ratings precipitously, but we've dropped them a little, both Philadelphia and Buffalo, a little bit. Are they still arguing? Well, I still think Kansas City's the best team in the AFC, but Philly might be the best team in the NFC, but not as much as they were a month ago.
No lines of surprise yet. We shall see what's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest game of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. I just want to read this one from Carl Neufeld, who was riffing off my thing about Staley handing the helmet back to Bosa. Said when Bosa threw his helmet, got that penalty that allowed them to go for 2 from the 1, Staley picked it up and handed it back. Mike Ditka would have. It's exactly another guy.
Yeah.
You imagine Mike Ditka handing that back to him? What are you doing? Wanted to like you so much. All right. Sunday morning. This is the marquee matchup of them all, Kelly, yes?
Yes, it is. The Bengals at the Bills.
Did you say Bengals?
I said the Bengals.
He did say Bengals.
Yeah.
It's like how Matt Brown Matt says Brown. It's the correct it's like way says, to pronounce it. Bengals.
It's like, how do you spell that, Matt? He goes, B-E-N. I'm like, say it. He goes, Bengals. Cincinnati at Buffalo. 3-2 on paper, the marquee matchup. Yesterday, Cincinnati against Baltimore. They started out with a 14-play, 54-yard drive. Field goal, 3-0. McPherson from 38 yards out. That was 6:38. Took 6:38. Baltimore, second and six at the Cincinnati 46. Huntley was picked by Akeem Davis-Gaither. And then Cincinnati, who at that point in the first quarter, they had run 22 of the 27 offensive plays. And as I mentioned earlier, John Harbaugh, an absolute joy in his interview with Melissa Stark. Chas v'chalila, the sheep should ask some regular questions. Sorry, I had to go Arabic.
I don't even remember what her question was, but it might as well have been like, how do you feel about playing football today? No, he's like, what's with these questions?
The kicker was that she dared mention Anthony Brown. She's like, oh, you think it'll be Anthony Brown or tell him? And he says, we'll just see how the game goes. He stomps away.
He was like angrily stuttering that too for like a minute before he said it.
Well, we'll just see how the game goes.
We'll just see how it goes.
Burrow to Chase.
Let me just say, I know a guy that knows him.
Yeah.
Not knows him well, but has met him. So, yeah, that's what he is.
He was so bitter. Burrow to Chase for 7. McPherson misses the extra point. God, how has he fallen in a year? 9-0 Bengals. Chase caught 5 passes on that one drive. He was already at 6 of the game. And then the second quarter was the complete opposite. Baltimore goes 17 plays for 75 yards, took 10:03 off the clock. Huntley to Dobbins from 2 out, 10-7 Cincinnati. Cincinnati 3rd and 16 at their own 39, 2:47 left in the half. Burrow to Hayden Hurst, well short of the sticks. He's hit by Kyle Hamilton, fumbles. Hamilton recovers. Ravens set up at the Cincinnati 44 with 2:38 left in the half. 1st and 10 at the Cincinnati 33, 1:26 left. They snap it over Huntley's head, but he scoops it up and hits Josh Oliver for 19. But at 1st and goal at the Cincinnati 3, the Bengals D holds. To a field goal. A Justin Tucker chip shot, 10-9. Baltimore takes the lead, and that's how we go into the locker room. Baltimore had it for 12 minutes and 34 seconds of the second quarter. Second half started out, Baltimore went 4 and out. Cincinnati 12-play, 83-yard drive, took 7:08. Burrow in from 1, touchdown, 2-point conversion to Higgins, 17-10 Cincinnati, and you're like, oh, feeling good if you had the Bengals. But the Ravens came right back. 5 plays, 81 yards. Huntley to Dobbins for 27, started with that, and then ended with Huntley to DeMarcus Robinson for 41, 17-17. Then Cincinnati with a 3 and out. And then the moment of the game. The Ravens go 81 yards in 8 plays to have it 3rd and 1 at the Cincinnati 1 with 11:54 left. Huntley tries the Drew Brees wave over the plane. Knocked out of his hands by Logan Wilson, Mutombo style. No. Right into the hands of Sam Hubbard. 98 yards to the hizzy. 24-17 Bengals. And those of us with Bengals tickets are like, yeah, just like I called it. Told you they'd win this game.
You, Matt, and I texted each other right afterward. Ooh, thank God.
And as Chris Collinsworth said, no push from the running backs. Either do that or spread them out to get rid of the linebackers. Don't do neither of those things. Next gen, before the fumble, Bengals had a 45.8% chance to win. After the touchdown on the fumble recovery, 87.6%. Rest of the game, Baltimore 3 and out, Cincinnati 3 and out. Even though roughing the kicker extended the drive, they had 3 more plays and they had to punt. 5 and out for the Ravens, 3 and out for the Bengals. Baltimore takes over with 3:14 left at the Cincinnati 46, 4th and 1 at the Cincinnati 37, 2-minute warning. Huntley runs for 3, and here's again where the Bengals just got a little too cute, especially as Kelly pointed out, for a plotting offense with a backup quarterback and the most unimposing wide receiver core ever. They didn't run their next play once they got the 4th down conversion at the 2-minute warning. Ravens, I'm sorry. Who did I say?
Bengals, okay.
Ravens, I'm sorry. Ravens didn't run their next play until the 1:25 mark. 1st and 10 at the 33, incomplete. But then they got an illegal use of a hands penalty on Cincinnati. So 1st and 10 at the Cincinnati 28 with 1:17 left. They didn't run their next play till the 34-second mark.
Wow.
Which, again, I get the strategy. You don't want to leave them any time on the clock if you score. But the problem with it is if you make one mistake, a sack, you take a sack, or if you have a penalty, you're toast. And that's exactly what happened. An illegal use of the hands penalty. A hold, I should say. So next play was 2nd and 20 at the Cincinnati 27 with 22 seconds left, incomplete. 3rd and 20 with 15 seconds left, incomplete. 4th and 20 with 8 seconds left. Huntley heaves it off the deflection, almost caught by James Prochet. Cincinnati escapes 24-17. Burrow, 23 of 32 for 209. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked four times, five carries for 9 yards and a touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase, 9 of 84 and a touchdown. Bengals outgained 364 to 234. They only mustered 51 yards rushing. And they're playing Buffalo, who went up on the Dolphins, and we won't go through the details, but they went up 17 to nothing. By the way, for those who bet in certain places, there was one drive where Buffalo was giving out free money on instant replays. People can bet on instant replays in some places. Free money on the overturn of a Gabe Davis catch, ruled incomplete initially, and then free money on a Dawson Knox touchdown that wasn't overturned. By the way, if you follow instant replay markets, it went from like minus 300 to minus 1,000 on overturns.
Man, we talk about waiting for commercials to make live bets. Oh. I can't even imagine betting that.
You know, for those who do that kind of thing, Kelly.
Yeah.
And then at 17-3, Josh Allen gets picked deep by Xavien Howard. So Miami has a 4th and 8 at the Buffalo 46. Thompson to Wilson Jr., Jeff Wilson Jr. for 13. Jason Sanders, 48-yard field goal. Buffalo holds him to a field goal, 17-6. Just giving up field goals, Buffalo is. 3 and out for Buffalo after Khalil Shakir couldn't secure a bomb. Miami gets a huge punt return from Cedric Wilson, 50 yards. Sanders, 37-yard field goal, 17-9. You're like, okay, well, that's going to be the end of the half. Nope, Allen picked by Javon Holland off a deflection. Then Thompson, Skyler, that is, to Gesicki for 7, 2-point conversion to Hill. It's gone from 17-0 to 17-17, 33 seconds left in the half. The Dolphins had scored 17 points in 7 minutes and 1 second.
This is the first time, Gil, where I'm like, perfect live bet. Let's go.
Let's go.
6.5. Lay it.
You were not alone. I know others who did as well. By the way, the Bills do end the half with the Tyler Bass 39-yard field goal. There were 17 combined points in the last 2-11 of that half. So 20-17, we start the second half. Miami's a 3 and out, but then Buffalo's first play, Allen sacked by Eric Rowe, recovered by Zach Sealer in the end zone. 24-20 Miami. Oh.
Another time to lay 5.5. Let's go.
Later. Thompson picked by Kair Elam. Allen to Beasley for 6 on the subsequent drive after an Allen 12-yard conversion on 3rd and 8. 27-24, Buffalo regains the lead. By the way, I kept texting people. Why are they not just having Josh Allen run on more plays?
I don't know.
What has happened to that play?
I don't know. And Daniel Jones somehow has turned into Josh Allen.
And the
Allen.
Next game, yes. I said that. I go, see, why didn't Buffalo do this?
Rex Ryan was going crazy about that this morning, actually.
Next drive, Allen to Davis for 23. 34-24, Buffalo's up 10. No problem, right? Wrong. Miami, 11 plays, 75 yards. Took 6-14, Wilson in from 1, 34-31, and there's 10:53 left. And then Buffalo, 3 and out. This begins the officiating nonsense portion of the game. Miami, 4th and 6 at their own 38 with 8:31 left. By the way, it was 4th and 6 because it appeared the Dolphins went for it and failed, but officials granted a timeout to the Bills. Miami reconsidered and punted at 4th and 6 in this particular case. Then Buffalo, 6 and out. Miami, 4th and inches at their own 48. Delay of game called even though the ball was snapped and Miami was stopped. 4th and 6 at their own 43. Incomplete pass intended for Gesicki. It was the worst play clock officiating I'd ever seen. Remember, it was 4th and 1, and Miami was going to take a delay because they thought it was a first down instead of a fourth down. Anyway, it was a whole thing. Buffalo ends up running out the clock after being given a first down when Singletary clearly was a half yard short, by the way, at the end. 34-31, Buffalo. Allen, 23 of 39 for 352, 3 touchdowns, two picks, but he was sacked 7 times. Lost a fumble. Diggs, 7 for 114. Davis, 6 for 113 and a touchdown. They won the total yardage battle, 423 to 231, and were -1 in turnovers. My guess will be Buffalo -2.5.
Whoa, that's what I made it.
Oh, well, let's find out what it is after the break here.
Okay.
You had the same number I did.
When I made my numbers, yeah.
Wow. So now I don't know which way it's going here. Interesting.
Been cocooned that long?
I have an idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Playoffs can't really stay in the cocoon as much. But I have an idea. We'll see if it elicits a bet. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, happy MLK Day to everyone listening. Again, we were trying to figure out there's only, quote unquote, only 9 NBA games today. Usually, though, it was the whole league playing. And we're trying to hypothesize why that is. It's because the NFL pushed up on their day.
Yeah, no, sure feels light. I'm guessing that's what it is, but I don't know.
We get tweets.
Yeah, because they're all during the day, too. You know, I mean, there's one, I guess, two evening games.
I think that's it. Yeah. Philly Boy LV4223. My favorite part of the Cincinnati-Baltimore recap was the no from Mutombo, he said. I literally LOL'd. That wasn't your favorite part of the recap.
No. What was the win percentages?
So this is for, they flashed this up on the screen. They like to show the next-gen win probability stats. Yeah. So before the 98-yard fumble return, when it was third and one for Baltimore at third and goal at the one, before the fumble, they said it was a 45.8% chance for Cincinnati to win, which, let me just say, I completely disagree with. Okay. Should be way lower than that. Yeah. And then 87.6% after.
87.6. Not 87.
No.
Not 88. 87.6. They are so accurate with these things. They have to. They don't go to hundredths. It wasn't the 88.63 or, you know.
Chrissy, I say this all the time when it comes to win probabilities in football. In baseball, I accept them because the sport is mechanical. Sure. So there are thousands of examples of a team being down two with runners at first and third with two outs in the bottom of the sixth, right? It's like, it's very, very, you can wrap your hands around it. Football, there's so many moving parts. Like, and first of all, there's no way it was 45.8% when they were on the doorstep of the end zone.
There's no way. I mean, you're kind of assuming it a touchdown there, right?
So you almost have to, don't you?
You almost have to. Yeah. So you're talking about being down 6 to 8 points, and you have that chance.
I love it. Chrissy got mad. 87.6.
But it is. We've gone too far with this. Every night I'm watching sports, and whatever, I'm not going to blame any one network, Gil, because it's all over the place, but I'll see it flash up like, Clippers, 98.6% chance to win. You're like, it's the middle of the third quarter of an NBA game. Yeah. Like, in what world are we living in that any team has that chance?
It drives me nuts. Well, I can't stand it.
It's also, we live in a world where it sounded like I was doing a movie trailer right there.
In a world.
We live in a world where if you have a model for anything, the assumption is, let's use that again, is that somehow you're smart and you're above the fray. So your win probability is a model. I don't buy your model.
Yep.
I just don't. Sorry about that. So so here's the thing about this game. Let's get back to the guess. I said 2.5.
Yeah.
And I recognize that the Bengals have offensive line trouble. Jonah Williams, Lyle Collins, they have three offensive linemen who are banged up. However, as we were saying earlier, Buffalo just doesn't seem that good to me anymore. And this is with Football Outsiders has them number. Buffalo Bills were one of the few teams in the history of the NFL that per DVOA, speaking of models, were top five offense, defense, and special teams this year. But have you watched them play the last half of the year? They have not been right to me.
The last month of the season, like I said, have they dropped precipitously? No. But they're not quite firing on all cylinders like they had been early in the year, midway through the year. They looked like it was going to be a cakewalk to the Super Bowl for them.
Yeah.
You know, not so much, no.
I hadn't powered
I mean, they
fifth.
Still might get there, and they still might win it, you know, but they're not playing like they were 6 weeks ago.
So the number is?
The number is 4, and I saw it open 4.5 and 5 mostly last night when I opened my numbers. So I opened 4, and I told my guys, listen, we're going to stay below the market here. It's pretty much settled down at 4, although I still see some 4.5s out there. But I've told them, I said, if you see 3.5 start popping up, we're going to go. You know, but I do have some money -4. Not enough to move me, but they have laid me the 4. I'm not moving yet until I get
Give me them points, Kelly. Give me them points.
Yeah, and I think you might want to take a look at the money line, too, because let me just take a second look here. And then you get, +180 in a lot of spots. I'm a little bit under that market, too. I'm at +175. But
tonight's game, you taking action one way, or two way traffic?
Nah, early on it was I opened the game 3, so they took Dallas plus Tampa plus the 3 off me. Since that time, I've been pretty solid 2.5, writing pretty good business at the 2.5. A little bit more on Dallas. I don't know if we'll get back to 3 or not. We might, because I see it 2.5. I'm looking now. I'm the only 2.5 flat anywhere. It's 2.5 with juice or 3 with juice on the dog.
So the winner of tonight's game, as we've talked about, takes on the San Francisco 49ers. It will be the last of the 4 games. The Niners are the only team we didn't talk about. The Niners get it done. Really all you, in case you missed that game, which I'm sure you didn't, but really the story with that game is the Seahawks came to play and actually led at the half 16-14. excuse me, they were down 16-14. San Francisco was up, and then San Francisco made the questionable decision to squib kick with 9 seconds left in the first half, and then Geno had the 9-yard run. He got the 15-yard unnecessary roughness on Jimmy Ward tacked on. So Jason Myers sunk a 56-yard field goal. It was 17-16 Seahawks at the half. And then the Niners just went crazy. 13-play, 75-yard drive. This is what I love about Kyle Shanahan. He just says, you know what? We're running. 10 of those 13 plays were runs. 7 minutes, 45-second drive. Purdy in from 1, 23-17. And I said at that point to my buddies, I was like, it just feels like the Niners need one stop and that this game will explode. And that's what happened. Geno was hit by Charles Omenihu. He fumbled. He recovered. Was recovered by Nick Bosa. And the Niners go 7 plays, 70 yards and 327. Purdy to Elijah Mitchell for 7. Purdy to Kittle for 2 on the two-point conversion. And the Niners were up 14 just like that. I have a note here. How bad of a coach must Matt Campbell be to have wasted Purdy and Breece Hall? Just random thoughts in my notes. Yeah.
Seriously.
Seattle goes 4 and out. They had like 3 penalties. 2 were accepted. Then the second play of the subsequent drive, Purdy to Debo for 74, most of a yak. And the Niners were up 21. Then Geno got picked by D'Amador Lenoir. Gould added a field goal. Seattle had a garbage touchdown. Anyway, 41-23, and the Niners won it going away. So let me just brass tacks this here. First of all, I said it earlier. If I'm the Niners and I'm given truth serum, and I'll be the Niners because I have Niners futures bets, NFC and Super Bowl from before the season, and I have Super Bowl MVP bets on the Niners. I want to play Tampa. Purdy, by the way, 18 of 30 for 332. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, 3 carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. McCaffrey, 15 for 119 on the ground, 2 for 17 and a touch, catching. Debo, 3 for 32 on the ground, 6 for 133 and a touch, catching. 505 total yards. Does this not feel like the Chiefs are playing the Niners in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have those two teams, not clearly the best, but a point, point and a half the best, and I have them equal right now. I was just looking at my numbers.
Did you do exactas?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you remember what their numbers are?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Who was more unimpressive yesterday, this weekend, the Bills or the Bengals?
Well, I got to tell you,
great question.
You look at the Bengals game, I mean, they got thoroughly outplayed. I would say the Bills didn't get thoroughly outplayed, but they got outplayed.
No, the Bills box score, they crushed the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Bengals box score, they got beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got thoroughly outplayed. Yeah, the Bills, outplayed them by this much early in the game.
Yes.
And then like you had been saying, they don't look right. They didn't look right the rest of the game.
I mean, at one point, I was like, is Skylar Thompson really going to come to your house and beat you? It just feels like those are the two best teams in football. Apologies to the Eagles, who haven't seen here for...
I know, yeah. Listen, Jalen Hurts comes back, and he's 100%. They're definitely in the mix. I'm going to try to find that exact approach.
Pro tip for the hour. Let's not forget about a pro tip, Kelly.
I did make one bet, Gil.
Yep.
Big teaser for me, Chiefs and Bengals up to 10.5. 6-point teaser, 10.5, and down to 2.
I think I will be on that exact same teaser. Look at Daniel Jones rushing props this week. He's had heavy usage his past 2 starts, 17 carries yesterday, 11 against the Colts. Keep that in mind. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on Visa across every show, at least 20 a day. Available for Visa Pro subscribers only at Visa.com.
My exact prices were Chiefs beat the Niners 9-1. Niners beat the Chiefs 8-1.
But that was last week.
That was going into the postseason. Yeah, so I mean, and we're going to put them up again tomorrow sometime. It'll be a lot different. I had the Chiefs with a much more difficult path to get to the Super Bowl.
Should be fun. Love this time of year. Tennis picks, we'll put them in the newsletter. Enjoy. Yeah. Happy MLK Day.
The cat sat on the mat.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox